Last night, my family and I were enjoying dinner together, and my youngest son, at least for a short period of time, he will continue to be my youngest son, he mentioned that there's a lot that he's afraid of. And this was all in context of a discussion we were having about the Zika virus. So, as we're pretty much all aware of these days, the Zika virus is a mosquito-borne virus that, when it infects pregnant mothers, one of the symptoms that has occurred is that babies are born with these small heads. And I was just listening to a kind of news report about some of the research that's going on, and I was sharing it with my family, and you know, my youngest son was just explaining that this was one thing that is, you know, strikes fear into the heart of mankind around the world. And really, this was just one example. The overwhelming concept that he was trying to convey was one of Weltschmerz. Since I'm not going to Germany this year, I've got to wedge in my German when I can, but basically, the state of this world is not so good. And my children pick up on it. You and I pick up on it. Even people who are not within the Church of God pick up on it. I have a high school acquaintance who is a policy advisor for a U.S. senator, and I was looking at his Facebook feed in response to the recent presidential debate that was on TV. And he obviously works for a U.S. senator. He's got some kind of stake in who winds up getting elected in his life. He thinks about this kind of stuff a lot. So it's always interesting to see what kind of things he posts. And this is what he wrote. Your debate summary. Nearly every single assertion uttered by each candidate was clearly, demonstrably false. Hashtag God help us. Now, he is not a member of the Church of God, as I understand, but he had something right there, and that is that God is the only one who can help us. So here we are, during the Feast of Trumpets. This is a day that represents the return of Jesus Christ. He is going to come back to this earth, and it's going to happen at a time when this earth, everybody within it, will be experiencing the most great calamity that has ever occurred on the face of the planet. The world will descend into chaos, and this is what we have out in front of us yet. We all, not just little children, we all may reflect on some of the future prophecies that are about to be fulfilled and become afraid. There's a lot to be concerned about. But none of these fears, none of these worries should overtake us. In fact, we must remember that we have God's protection. And that's the title of my sermonette today. It's God's protection. There will be persecution, brethren, and that is something that the Bible is clear about. And I'd like to begin in Matthew 24, and we'll look at verses 4 through 13. Matthew 24, beginning in verse 4, we read about what is described as the signs of the times. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. These are the signs of the times. And this is just the beginning of sorrows. In fact, I don't even know if the beginning of sorrows has really begun. We hear of wars, we hear of rumors of war, but it has not pervaded the face of the planet yet. A time will come which appears to be at our doorstep. There will be oppression. There will be deception, widespread deception. And people, Christians, will be killed. And this is certainly something that is one of the most grave passages in the Bible, something to be very concerned about. But we have some encouragement at the end. And what is it? And it is that he who endures to the end will be saved. Not might be. He who endures will be saved. That's something that we can trust and believe in. Please turn with me to John 16, and we'll read verses 31 through 33. John 16, beginning in verse 31. Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Jesus declares two things to prepare us. First, there's a warning to be ready. Don't rest on your laurels. Get ready. We need to be prepared for the tribulation that will endure. And this comes in many shapes. Many of us suffer and go through trials and struggle in this world. And the second thing balances out that warning, and that is a reassurance to be confident. "Rest assured, brethren, I have overcome the world. It will all work out if you trust and have faith in me," is what Jesus Christ was saying. We will have tribulation now. Today, we must certainly endure it. It is clear that the way of a Christian is a difficult one. It's a hard path to follow. And, brethren, we are warned to get ready. We're warned and told that we must endure. Don't give up. There's a lot of scary stuff out there that is staring us down in the future. Stuff that's out in front of us. Stuff that scares even grown men, not just children. So what can we do? Knowing that we have tribulation and things to be concerned about, what is it that we can do to protect ourselves? Well, does that mean that we should go out and, you know, get guns, armor up, and get ready? Maybe buy a place up in the mountains, a place that we can go to when everything goes sideways. Is that what we're supposed to do? Prepare ourselves physically? Not so much. Not so much at all. preparing ourselves physically is bound to failure. We need to prepare ourselves spiritually. We need to protect ourselves spiritually. Fortunately, God offers us great protection. And to begin, I'd like to go back to Deuteronomy 28 and read verses 1 through 9, where we can read about some of the protection that God offers us. This is the chapter about the blessings, which I'll focus on. The cursings also appear there. Deuteronomy 28, beginning in verse 1 and reading through verse 9. Now what shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket for your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. There is a blessing that we can enjoy, protection that we can enjoy today in our physical lives, in fact, if we obey God. And we know that we, in order to obey God, we need to do that in spirit first, but physically as an outward manifestation, a evidence of our willingness to obey him. We will be protected if we obey. Turn with me to Isaiah 41. I'll read verses 10 through 13. Isaiah 41. And this is also about God's promise to protect. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them, those who contend with you. Those who war against you shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. I hope that gives you some encouragement. It encourages me. God is on our side. That we can rest assured of. He is there to protect us. He doesn't want to see us get harmed. He wants to see us endure. He wants to see us glorify him and live lives that are a great example of God's way of life. Fear not. There's nothing that we need to be afraid of. No matter what crazy kind of consequences and events are out in front of us as prophecy is fulfilled. The Bible makes it very clear that times will be very tough, both now and in the future. Really tough. But protection is offered by God to those who follow him in obedience. It's that simple. But there's a paradox involved that maybe some of you have picked up on. Two things are promised by God. Persecution is promised. And protection is promised. How can we be both persecuted and protected at the same time? That's a tough one, isn't it? It depends upon how you approach protection. What are we looking to protect? Are we looking to protect our physical accumulations? Are we looking to protect our physical bodies? We have to remember that God has the long view in mind. He's concerned with the eternal. He's not concerned with the temporary, the physical, the carnal. What do you think God wants to protect? What do you think He's interested in protecting? Our spiritual well-being. For the final scripture, please turn with me to Matthew 10. I'll read verse 28. Matthew 10 and verse 28. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. We don't need to be afraid of man. We don't need to be afraid of the problems that we may endure in this world. We need to fear God. And God wants to protect us. He will protect our salvation if we obey Him. We know that God will protect us. But primarily, what He is looking out to protect is our place in His eternal family.